do desire your prayers this morning. I thought of, as we were studying the lesson this morning, sacrifice that our Lord made in inhabiting the body prepared for Him. I've thought of the time when He was on the mount there with His disciples, the Mount of Transfiguration. The Scripture says there appeared talking with Him Moses and Elias. Wonder what they were talking about. Have you ever wondered? I don't know how much time there was yet for His earthly ministry to continue. But it was obviously a very glorious time. When the disciples looked, Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to have been here. We've just seen something miraculous. So let's build three tabernacles to you. Well, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias." And I don't know just what was going on in the conversation that Moses and Elijah were having with Jesus, but I expect it was about very deep spiritual things. It was about very deep burden and concern. I see that as being a time where Jesus was there with some of His co-workers, if you will, those that had carried a burden and shared a burden. Moses carried a burden for the people of Israel, and he was very concerned about them, and faced adversity with them, and went through the wilderness and saw the miracles, talked to God, if you will, face to face. Elijah did about the same thing with the Lord. He talked to Him and got messages from Him, got answers from Him for the people of Israel. And here's Jesus now bringing to mankind the perfect plan of salvation. And here He is in the mount talking with these other two men. You know, we read that time and time again. You just think about the Mount of Transfiguration. It's just the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus was transfigured there. But I really wonder what was going on. I really wonder what happened. I don't know now. I hope to know someday. But I've been thinking about the love that the Lord has had for mankind all down through time, from the beginning of creation. My mind has been in the book of Ezekiel. There are two chapters there that are very beautiful. 33 and 34. I'd like to work with that for a little bit this morning. Maybe do just quite a bit of reading. And pray that the Lord would bless it. I know there was a time where Jesus went in the temple. He opened the book. And he read the book, and he gave it again to the one standing by, and he sat down. And he said, "This day is this saying fulfilled in your ears." Well, all had to look upon him with wonder at what he had just said, what he had read. But the Word of God, many times it speaks for itself. I know we expect from time to time, as we come to service, we expect to have this part where someone stands before us and delivers a burden, a message. But I feel inspired this morning to do some reading from the Word of God, and maybe comment some along the way. But let the Word of God do what it will, and the Holy Spirit work through the reading of the Scripture, because it's powerful when the Spirit of God works through the pages that we have. When the Spirit of God works through that, there's something there. It becomes alive. So I would pray this morning, as you pray with me, that As we go through this, the Lord would open it up to our hearts and help us to see the seriousness of it. 33rd chapter begins, and I'll not try to read this for use of time, but it gives in a synopsis here, the Lord speaking to Ezekiel about what the responsibility of the minister is. The watchman is how it's worded here. And he's saying to them, if you watchmen, I've set you as a watchman, the people have set you, chosen you. At any rate, here's a watchman. And if he sees the sword come upon a land, he sees that there's about to come a tragedy of some sort, and he blows the trumpet of warning, and those who are standing around or in the city do not take heed to the warning, then their blood is on their own heads. Because the watchman blew the trumpet, he gave the warning, and they didn't take heed to it, their blood is on their own heads, he is clear. But if the watchmen see the sword come, in whatever way it may be, whatever detriment there may be, if he sees the sword come, but he holds his peace, he doesn't speak against that, and the sword does come, and it claims the lives of those who were taken by the sword, by whatever means it was, their blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now that's very serious. It's very serious to me when I read that. Because it tells me that I must be very careful. It tells me I must be careful about what I allow and what I see and what I hear. I must be alert at all times. The minister, the one that has the oversight for the souls of pastors, they must be keen, must be listening for the sounds of the flock, for the sounds of the sheep, for the sounds of the enemy. Must be alert and keen to try to pick up anything that would be out there that could harm the sheep and blow the trumpet of warning against it. Now when that happens, when the trumpet is sounded, then the watchman has cleared his soul. I can stand before God if something should come and I see it and I proclaim and blow the trumpet, that I can stand before God in the day of judgment clearing my soul. Lord, I've done all that I knew to do. I've done all that I knew to do. I've done all that you told me to do. As far as I can understand it, I've done it, Lord. Whatever I didn't see, whatever I didn't understand, you are able to work in spite of my flesh. But my effort was to attempt to warn the people. I can stand before God clear. But if that should come, and the warning should go forth, and the congregation of people should not accept the warning, there will be some that will and some that will not. That's just the way it is with human people, human beings. Just the way it is. Some will hear, some will accept, some will not. Folks, the blood, there's still going to be a price to pay. Even though the warning went forth, if it was not heeded, someone's going to have to pay. And if you don't take heed, then that falls, your blood will be on your own hands. Now, I'd like to go to the 11th verse. Say unto them as I live, this is 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Oh, I know that God desperately wants to see all souls be saved. There's no pleasure in seeing one that has gone in the way of error. There is no pleasure in seeing that one finally come to the point of having to pay up what they owe, if you will, because they've lived wickedly. There's no pleasure in that. That's a soul that's doomed to a devil's hell. And God looks upon that with love. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. There's nothing there that I delight in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous. Listen to these words. The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. And what that's saying is, however you live, whatever you do in your life, if you have chosen to live wickedly, you have chosen to go the way contrary to the word of God, but there should come the day, there should come the time when the Lord knocks upon your door and you open and bid Him enter. And He is allowed to come in. I'll remember that no more against you. If you will allow God speaking, if you will let Him come in and dwell within your heart, all the wickedness that you did, I'll cast it away. I'll cast it away because you've opened and you've accepted me. But oh, if we live right now from this point back, if I have lived up to this day in a way that is pleasing to God, and I have tried in everything that I understand to serve Him, but I allow something to come in my life, and I allow there to be a transgression in my life, all the righteousness that I have done, all that I have understood up until this point will not save me. It'll be wiped away. Just as much as the wickedness is wiped away, just as much as sin can be wiped away, whenever I will yield myself to the Lord, so will all of my righteousness be wiped away if I yield to the flesh. It'll be forgotten. It's not as far as God sees, folks. We can fool one another. Oh, I can live in such a way that seems to be oh so pious, but allow something in my life and you may not see it. You may not know. But God takes note of those things. And everything that I have in my life, if I have lived righteously up to this day and I allow myself to go the way of error, all that righteousness is forgotten. Now sin is imputed unto me. Oh, it's a close, close, careful walk. We've so much responsibility rests upon us, everyone, to search daily. Lord, search me, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. See if there's anything in me, Lord. It behooves me daily, daily to say, Lord, turn your searchlight on in me. Help me, Lord. Let me be clean and clear before you. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he committeth, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. What a blessing from God out of heaven. What a blessing from God to know that if I'll turn from my way, He'll forget all that I ever did in the past against Him. And He'll give me a new life. He'll give me a chance, an opportunity to start all over again. Wipe the slate clean. You've heard that expression mentioned before. A clean slate. New life. New opportunity. Oh, none of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. What a blessing. What a blessing. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. How could that be so? How could it be said that people would say the way of the Lord is not equal? When I just got through saying to you, Son of man, listen as I speak. I'm speaking to you through my prophet. And I'm trying to give you this message. If you'll just do right. If you'll just do what the Word says to do. If you'll just turn from your way of error, I'll forgive you. And I'll not remember this against you anymore. And I also say, but if you have lived righteously, but you turn from the righteousness to do wickedly, I can't accept that. I can't allow that to be. There's no way that I can accept wickedness and claim it to be righteousness. Didn't you say it's not equal? How can you say that the Lord's way is not equal? The way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, as for people, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. 30th verse. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and the doors of the houses, speak to one another, everyone his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. The word here where it says, talking against thee, it doesn't mean talking bad about you. It means they're talking of you. They're speaking of you. And so many times, that's just the way it is. A meeting will go forth, a service will go forth, and you'll hear folks say, I've heard this mentioned, not under my own ministering, but under someone. That was such a good message. Such a good message. Oh, brother so-and-so, he had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God's resting on his life. Come hear what he has to say. And it sounds good. It's palatable. It's easy for the ears. And it upbuilds and it uplifts. And they say, come see. Come, I pray. Hear what the Lord says. Come listen a while. He's interesting. He can hold your attention. Well, folks, there's more to ministering than holding attention and being interesting. We have to be able to get down to the depth of the need of the soul through the Spirit of God working under the anointing. It has to reach the depth of the soul. It's not what tickles the ears. It's not just because he's flamboyant and sounds good and it's pleasing. This is what the Word says here. They come unto thee as the people cometh. They sit before thee as my people. They hear thy words. They'll not do them. They hear what's being said. They listen to the teaching. They'll go to Sunday school. They'll be respectful. And they'll even say to others, oh, that sounded good. Yes, it was good. It was a good service. And we could feel the presence of the Lord. You know, you can feel the warmth of a fire without being part of the fire. You can feel the warmth. And then it's possible in a congregation of people for others to feel the Holy Spirit moving and working without them being a partaker of it. But it's part of God's drawing. Folks, such an importance and responsibility rests upon us. Here it is. They hear thy words, they'll not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Now this is serious. This is very serious. To be in a place, to have opportunity, week after week, month after month, year after year, to hear the teachings of the Bible, to hear the teachings of holiness, to hear the teachings of what Jesus Christ came to bring, what He offered to all mankind, to hear it over and over and over again. And it does sound good. It's a beautiful story. When someone tells me of a man who was willing to leave the splendors of heaven to suffer humiliation and pain for me, and to be willing to go to a cross and hang there with a crown of thorns on his head, and those walking by wagging their head, oh, he said he could save others, but himself he cannot save. When you hear that story, the story of Jesus, oh, tell me the story of Jesus. I love to hear it. It sounds good. You know, it sounds good to just about everyone. It's a beautiful story. Just the idea that one man will give his life for another. I've heard stories of the war times and read accounts of men who would just fall on a landmine to help save others around them. Well, that's noble. That's good. But it didn't save a soul. Only Jesus was the one. And when we hear that kind of story, when we hear that, it sounds good. It's like a lovely song. It's beautiful. But it takes more than that. It takes more than just hearing it. It takes more than just being moved when I do hear it. I've got to have it applied to me. Or I'll be found standing outside the portal, standing outside denied, knowing that with the demons ever you shall abide. I've got to have it applied to my life. Otherwise, it's nothing more than a lovely song. It means nothing. But listen to the last verse here. And when this cometh to pass, or this destruction, when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. There's coming a reckoning time. There's coming a time whenever I will recognize, I will realize that I had opportunity. Many, many, many times, God came and He spoke and He gave me a chance. He gave me opportunity after opportunity. And when things start falling apart, and to some it may not be, except on that last great day. But a stark reality will soon appear. then I'll realize that there was a prophet amongst. Who is the prophet? It's the man of God, or whatever means the Lord has used to talk to a soul. There will come that time when I will have to acknowledge, I will have to realize that if I have gone the way of Cain, if I've gone the way of error, lo, it will come. Lo, it will come. You can go right now and pat yourself on the back. You can smooth it over, make it easy, but there will come a day when you will have to acknowledge, oh Lord, there was a prophet amongst us. There was a prophet in the land. There was someone in the land. There were people who were standing for the truth, standing for righteousness, and doing everything that they could to proclaim it. This is the last verse of this 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, where it began by saying, watchmen, I want you to take heed. If you see the sword come, and you blow the trumpet, and you give people warning, then you've delivered your soul. And those are the ones who are going to realize. They're going to realize that when that day comes, when the sword does come, and the trumpet's been blown, and the destruction does come, then will they realize. Then they'll know that a prophet hath been among them. And you know there's going to be many, many, many who are going to wait till that time to acknowledge that God had really been dealing. God had been working, and I rejected. I refused. I turned my back. Now, I'd like to go to the 34th chapter. This is a beautiful chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord unto the prophets, unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Hear the word of the Lord. I am against the shepherds. I'll require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. I'll deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Have you ever felt like you were a prey? Have you ever felt like someone was just after you? Here, remembering what the Lord said unto Ezekiel, I want you to give fair warning. I want you to give fair opportunity. I want you to give reasonable concern for the sheep. And here in this, he's prophesying against the false shepherds. There are people in the world, in the ministry, in the religious world, who will pat on the back just about anything you can come up with. They're interested only in having a chapel full of people. They're interested only in seeing what they can put on the board as far as how much offering came in for this cause, how much came in for that cause, how many people we have on our membership rolls. That doesn't mean anything to God. It doesn't mean anything to God. A lot of that type of worship, if you will, religion, is with cruelty and force. God speaks against things like that. He speaks in His Word. I am the one who is interested in sheep. I'm interested in bringing them back to the fold. I don't want to see them driven away. Many are driven away because there are burdens placed upon them that they cannot bear. They just simply cannot bear. And the Word of God is to The responsibility is to give warning, to give opportunity, to give hope, to extend life, to extend a chance to those who feel that they have been sorely oppressed, sore, unable to cope with the rigors of life, unable to cope with the rigors of man's ideas placed upon them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Give God an opportunity. Give Him a chance. Give Him a chance to talk to your heart. If you have ever felt like, wherever you have been in your life, that someone has treated you wrong, that someone has done you wrong, maybe they told something that wasn't true about you, maybe they spread a rumor about you, maybe you have been treated unfairly, maybe you've been put down all of your life, maybe you have felt like no one ever cares about me. But if that be the case, I encourage you, I entreat you, disregard the man, disregard the flesh that stands before. Look to the Spirit of God. He says, I, even I, will search out my sheep. I'm the one that's concerned about them. Don't look at me. Don't look at who stands before you. Look at the burden that the Lord is trying to get across to the individual souls. I love you. I've sent my warning to you. I've tried to reprove you. I've tried to lift you up. I've tried to bind up the wounds, the brokenhearted. And I love you enough. I love you so much that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to see you get saved, to see you get the help that you need. Short of compromising truth and holiness. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I'll bring them out from the people, gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them in a good pasture. Upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Wouldn't it be a glorious thing? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Lord, have thine own way. Work. Do whatever it takes. Move me out of the way if that's what the problem is. Make me know, Lord. Make me know what the trouble is. If there's something that I'm doing wrong, make me to know it. Let me see it, Lord. Let me know. Oh, I don't want to stand in the way of one. Of one making heaven their home, making their peace with God. The Lord judges between cattle and cattle. I'm so glad that that's the case. I'm so glad that I don't have to depend upon your wisdom to stand before God for me in that last great day and say, I recommend this brother to you. Well, or I don't recommend this one to you. I'm so glad that I am not looking to you to speak to God for me in that day. He judges. He searches. He seeks. And the truth is, folks, that He truly seeks. He truly searches. Have you ever searched for something? Have you ever lost something? Have you ever lost something small in the grass? Like a needle in a haystack, the saying is. And you spend time looking, looking, looking. So if I don't find this, if I can't find this piece, my project stops. And I've got to try to find something just like it or something that will work in place of it. Have you ever been in a place like that where you get down on your hands and your knees and you search? And if it's something that you really desire and you really need, you don't give up easily. You don't just turn over a few blades of grass and quit. You'll do whatever it takes. You try and try until you've just exhausted your ability. And then now I've got to go do something else. Folks, God loves every one of us enough. When He says, I will search, I will seek, I believe that's just what it means. I believe He puts forth all the energy that He can to seek and to search out His sheep, those that are willing. Oh, turning over the rocks, turning over the grass, turning over the leaves, turning over whatever there may be in the way, to search, to seek, and to knock on your door. And when He does knock on your door, and you know when He does, you've been found. He has searched, and He has sought, and He has found. And now comes the knock. Will you let me in? I found you. I found you. You're the one that I've been looking for, and I found you. Now will you let me in? It's the mercy of the Lord. No man can come unto me, Jesus said. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. God is a drawing force. He is a drawing force. But we've got to yield to Him. Listen to Him. He's searching. He's seeking. He's looking. He's looking for you. He's looking for me. He's looking for us, everyone, all along the way. If there ever is a time, ever a place where I've done something that's just a little in error, in my ignorance, I've allowed something or done something, and in my ignorance, I didn't know. But God is searching. God is seeking. And when that knock comes, and He says, you remember this? You remember this? I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Open your heart to the Lord. Let Him have His way. Let Him be a sheep. Just be a sheep. And let Him be a shepherd to you. Let Him love you. Let Him care for you. Let Him tend to the flock as He wants to tend to it. Amen.